Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
What's up, real business owners? Welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast. Today, it's myself, Kill, and Trevor.
Kilo G.
That's right. It's just us today, guys. Guests today. We got a cool topic to chop it up with you guys about. We want to talk a little bit about how your underprivilegedness is really a privilege for you in this business world or in this world, period, right?
Just in general, right?
Yeah.
It's really what it comes down to, guys, is it's really about perspective, right? So some people use their situation, if they grew up poor or underprivileged or whatever it may be, as an excuse, and now they're 30, 40, 50 or whatever, saying, well, I was underprivileged growing up. You know, okay, so something that happened, you know, in the first 18 years of your life is going to dictate how your life ends up for the next 40 or 50 years.
Yeah.
That's a long period of time to do really nothing about the way that you grew up. You didn't have any control with the way that you grew up, right? You weren't the breadwinner of the house. You were just a child, right? I grew up with, humble beginnings, let's just say, you know, in an environment where there was, you know, a lot of people in the neighborhood, or I would say older dudes in the neighborhood, but older meaning, you know, they were like 14, 15 and I was 8.
Yeah.
They were already drinking and smoking and things like that. Was the environment of the neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I slowly adopted, you know, some of those habits by the time I was 13 as well. That didn't really serve me, but I ended up just becoming a product of my environment. And I think too many people are just becoming a product of their environment and remaining a product of their environment for way too long. You know, you have the ability to control far more than what you realize, and you have the ability to dictate how your life turns out.
Yeah.
The differentiator? What's the right word? Hey, help me out, bro. You're smart.
The differentiator, yeah.
Differentiator. Okay, okay.
I was struggling with my words today, too. I was like, underprivilegedness?
Yeah, so, yeah, obviously we didn't grow up, you know, private school or anything like that.
Yeah,
we can't even talk today, you know. The big words are, you know, usually out of our vocabulary. But, you know, with that said, I think it comes down to sacrifice, be willing to give up some of the comforts. Even if you are underprivileged, so to speak, or don't have money, there's still comforts that people have or things that they lean on. Because of their crappy situation, they spend a little more than they should to make themselves feel better and give that little dopamine hit to their mind of buying those new shoes or whatever it is, buying a car that they shouldn't be buying, you know, things like that. And then they end up becoming imprisoned to their current situation, but they're really imprisoned in terms of a negative mindset or a mindset, I'm the way I am because of how I grew up.
100%, man.
You know?
I think that's the biggest point that we can make on a show like this. And that's something that I've noticed forever, as long as I can remember, man, is just so many people conform to their environment.
Yeah.
Some people make the decision that this is not what I'm meant to do. I'm better than this. I know I have what it takes to create more for me. Like, they go against the grain a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And those are the people that I feel like look at their underprivilege as an advantage, as a privilege in itself, right? And I actually had two things that made me kind of want to talk about this. Why I made a note in my phone on this topic is, one, you know, Zach started a room in that new Clubhouse app, where this is basically what we talked about. And it was a hot topic, man, because everybody's got different backgrounds and stories and different beliefs and perceptions, right? And then I was into like a little social media war with some family, right, about it as well. And unfortunately, it was more like about white privilege, right, versus, you know, it turned into the whole racial thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I popped in there. I was like, look, man, I believe that everybody has an opportunity. And I believe that there's a lot of shit that's not fair in the world. But at the end of the day, there is no fair in the world. It's never going to be equal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to the people as individuals to decide what type of life they want to have, and they can have it. We have way too many success stories and proof of that in order to argue this, right? And yeah. I was trying to get that point across. It didn't go well with the people that obviously just don't believe it. And it's weird, man. It's almost like there's half people in this world. I don't know if it's half. I don't know the number, but it's like half people that just want to sit there and talk about how unfair the world is. And like, you know, they are just doing dealing with the hand that they were dealt. And I'm over here like, no, man, you can do it. Like, but anyway, we shared stories in this whole argument, this Facebook post back and forth. And man, I talked about it. I made an example of like, it doesn't matter if you're white. It really doesn't. Like, I know people from Russia. I know people Latino. I know Persian people. I know, you know, all these different people that have literally come here from nothing. And when I talk to these people, and my uncle is one of them, right? I talked about my uncle before, and he was a huge inspiration in my life. And he actually talked to me about this when I was young, and I went to stay with him when my family was having problems. They shipped me off down to his home to stay with him. And he told me, man, it's like, man, I think that any person, in my mind, if they're smart, they'll choose to work for themselves and build and design the life that they want to have. And he shared stories with me about what it was like for him in Iran and coming here to America from Iran and a lot of the obstacles that he faced. And of course, he's achieved a high level of success. He's very successful. And I remember him telling me, man, like, I look at my beginnings and the things that people would say are my underprivilege as a huge factor in my success, right? Because he had a different work ethic than people that are born with whatever you want to call it, privilege, right? If you're born here and you didn't have to go through the struggles that maybe he went through, like that develops such a higher level desire of work ethic that it's almost like, and I've heard Gary Vee say it before too, man, immigrant families that come here that have actually experienced way worse, right? That are considered underprivileged. It's almost like that is their privilege if they channel it right, because they know they've got a work ethic unlike anybody else that was born here with more privilege because of those beginnings, which they look at as their own privilege, right? They look at it as like, that's an advantage because my advantage they know is how.
The work ethic. Yeah. I can outwork these people that don't even know what the opportunity that they have in front of them is. And when you're talking about fair and not fair, you know, we could just talk about the United States as a whole, the number one economy in the entire world. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that is born in Iran might not think it's fair that we live in the United States.
Right.
You know, but then there's people in the United States that look at their situation and utilize it as a crutch a little too much. You know, the reality is when there's opportunity everywhere in the United States, I think that it's very easy to just default to negative. We're so close to it. It's almost like we don't even see it. You know, in some cases, right? But somebody external is like, wow, there's a lot of opportunity in America. I want to move there and I want to create a life for myself. So you're telling me if I move there and I just work really hard and sacrifice 10 or 15 years of my life, I can really create a life for myself,
right?
You know, and become wealthy and become rich.
Yeah.
And that's all that they need to know. So what are they focused on? Their bad past and growing up in Iran, like your uncle? Or did he come here focusing on the opportunity that he has, provided he had a work ethic and provided he made the proper sacrifices?
Yeah.
And so his perspective is different because he appreciates the opportunity that the separator is his work ethic. Yep. The separator had nothing to do with the fact that, hey, he can't go around and say, hey, I'm from Iran. I grew up poor. Do business with me. That's not going to help him in business, right? And so he's still leveraging his past, a negative past, to put in the time and the effort to get more because he knows what hard really is. And when you're growing up in an environment like that in Iran, that is very, very difficult. So just showing up to work and making some sacrifices by choice, that's not that hard for him because he knows that provided he does that, the result will be there. Not if, it's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be 2 years or 5 years. It may be a 10-year, 15 or 20-year build. But if a 20-year-old came in with that type of a mindset just in general and they were willing to sacrifice 10 to 20 years, they're 40 years old and they could be worth multi-millions of dollars, but they just don't want to give up what they currently have in terms of some of their comforts, because in America, we're so used to some of these comforts, whether it's just a Starbucks, you know, or whatever it is. It's, you know, having a new pair of shoes, right? Because other people around us have it, so we think that we should have it, or whatever it may be. Those guys maybe are a little bit more willing to sacrifice and just wear the same shit for 10 years straight and just put money away. You know, there was an individual that I spoke to on the phone years ago, and he was an immigrant, came into the country, and he, by the time I talked to him, he owned like 3 or 4 convenience stores. And I was talking to him about how he did it, you know, and he says, I was working 3 jobs when I moved here, you know, so I worked 3 jobs for 7 or 8 years to save up enough money to purchase my first convenience store. And then he worked at that convenience store with 0 employees, so he didn't really have the overhead. He just wouldn't really pay himself, build the money in the account, and then he got another one.
Yeah.
So when he finally got the one goal of a convenience store, he continued to make the sacrifices necessary to turn it into 2, and then turned that 2 into 3, and then 3 into 4.
Do you remember the dude we met at that owned that bar in Oceanside? He also owned a bunch of jewelers. He owned a bunch of diamond shows. He was also Iranian.
Those Iranians, dude, they hustle like a motherfucker, dude. Like, I don't know what it is, but they got a hustle muscle like on anybody else that I've ever seen. But
Ali Awad, like all those guys, man. Like,
Ali's a hustler.
And it's like, it's not even like that they, it's not even like they look at it, from what I can tell, it's not even like when immigrants come here, they look at it like, oh, they want to beat anybody. They're just so appreciative of the opportunity that they don't want to take it for granted. So their work ethic is absolutely insane. Well,
they get to choose to be able to work 2 or 3 jobs. Maybe back in Iran or whatever, there wasn't the opportunity to have 2 or 3 jobs in order to try to, you know, put food on the table and get to a point where they have extra, right? Where they're having money in the bank and things like that. But nobody's going to stop anybody that's listening to this podcast from, you know, starting a business and having, you know, a job on the side, or a job and starting a side hustle, or whatever it is. I just honestly think that we just get blinded a little too much and focus so much on our problems and our past and our situation. And when you're so focused on the problems in the past and your current negative situation, how can something positive come of you thinking negatively in terms of, well, I was underprivileged, or I didn't grow up rich, or whatever. Now, the theme that you guys, anybody that's been listening to a lot of our episodes, a lot of the people that we've brought on that are seeing success, they all have pretty cool background stories of growing up with some struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Stu Manon, which is one of our coaches and mentors that we are involved in his Apex group. Very humble beginnings.
Right.
You know, he's highly successful now. Even Kaysen, that we just barely had on. Mm-hmm. We talked about how he had drug addiction and homelessness. Mm-hmm. And now he makes in the hundreds of thousands of dollars a year because he made it a decision not to be a victim of his own negative mindset and his own negative choices.
Yep.
Now, your past is your past. In some cases, you didn't have the ability to control what your past is. I didn't choose to grow up with less than. But at the end of the day, hindsight's 20/20. You know, where I'm at right now, I'm very grateful for the humble beginnings. I was very grateful that my parents, they couldn't buy me the things that I wanted, like the new bikes, or if something broke on the bike, I had to figure it out so that, because it's something that I wanted so bad. I wanted to hang out with my homies. I wanted to ride bikes with them or whatever, but I knew I couldn't go ask my parents for money. So that put the ownership on me. It's not their problem that I can't go ride a bike. I need to go mow some lawns. I need to go to the golf course and go pick up golf balls, polish them, and sell them to golfers. I need to go pull weeds in the neighborhood. So I took ownership of my situation. And anytime that I really wanted something, I had to go get it, because I didn't have a mom or dad that I could say, hey, can I have $20? Can you take me down to the bike store so that I can get this new part for my bike so I can keep riding my bike? That put me in a situation where I realized if I want something, I can't go outside of myself. I can't go ask somebody else to do something for me to put me in a better situation. It was those situations that created a work ethic that I have now.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to highlight an individual. I was watching the national championship of college football the other day, and this young man, Devontae Smith, He was told he's not big enough. He's not fast enough.
Oh, I caught a small clip of this. I didn't need to see the whole thing.
Yeah, dude, it's an incredible, incredible story. It's just about overcoming. And the cool thing about being underprivileged is that you get to create a work ethic climbing out of that situation. And by the time that you reach some success, let's say you have another individual that makes 100 grand a year and you finally get to the point where you're making 100 grand a year, your work ethic is different than that person's because you had to climb out of a bigger hole in order to receive those type of results than maybe somebody that had a parent that borrowed them money to start their business.
Yeah.
Which one of those two people, once they reach that point, are going to be more successful? The individual that had far more discipline, work ethic, and hustle to get to that point, or the one that it was kind of given to them a little bit through friends or family, or maybe they got a business handed down to them from their parents starting a business or whatever it is, but they're not going to have the same discipline, the same grit, the same grind, the same hustle that somebody else had that grew up poor, that had to fight for every single inch that they have in their life, or every dollar that they have.
They might not look at it during that time as
that.
In that fight.
Hindsight, though, they will.
That this is their advantage. But man, when they pop out the other side, dude, and they're living liquid, they're living free, they're living a good life of abundance, they do. They look back and they accredit a ton of their recipe towards the success of those times, yeah. Man, of the appreciation that they had to develop, right, through that time, man. Like, it doesn't feel like it in the fight. It doesn't feel like it in our fight right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, dude, I feel like we got so far to go.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man, we have so far to go. Like, we're not even close to where we want to be and what we're capable of. I know, and we talk about it a lot because we've developed our awareness of it over all these years, and we've developed it at levels of success that we've had. But I just see too much right now, man. I just see too much people that blame it on all these different things. Because you're right, man. We don't get to choose. We don't get to choose what color we're born. We don't get to choose what country we're born in.
How tall we are.
What our upbringing is going to be. What our programming is going to be in our childhood. Those are the things we don't get to choose. But we are adults now. We get to choose.
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone victimizing me.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're black, brown. I don't care if you're Asian. I don't care if you're white. Like, dude, it's not a color thing. It's just not.
It's a hustle and a grind thing.
There's millions of underprivileged white people. There's millions of underprivileged black people. There's millions of underprivileged Latino people. Do you know what I mean? So I hate that the conversations go there on social media, and I know there's a huge push for it in our culture with society and colleges and all this shit,
but
it's wrong.
But even if there is some merit to it, what's the point of focusing on it to the point where you're actually crippling yourself?
Exactly.
Right? So let's say you are validated in terms of some of the things that you state.
What does that do?
But how is that going to help you moving forward
exactly.
by playing that card? Now, again, you have that card. Use that card if you want to use that card, but it's not going to serve you.
Right.
Right? There's certain markets that don't care your background, that don't care what country you're from, that don't care how you grew up. Does the stock market know anybody that's behind the screen that's playing money?
The stock market sees green. That's the only color it sees.
You know, you put $1,000 in. You're playing. Yeah. You're a player in the game. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to you to develop yourself to understand how to read the charts and the graphs and the candlesticks to determine whether that stock's going to go up or down.
Yeah.
And that's not on me to try to tell somebody else how to do it. That's your life. You have the ability to control that. But you're choosing not to take the time that you have to educate yourself in a field where we know people are making a large amount of money, which is the stock market. They don't care about anything except for the fact that you put money in, and it's up to you to win or lose at that point. And how you win is by making sure that you're continuing to educate yourself and play the game in a smart way.
Right.
Now, you can't discriminate in the stock market. You can't discriminate on crypto. You can't discriminate in the foreign exchange market. There are some markets that don't really care. What about an Amazon e-commerce store? If I'm buying a hat on Amazon, do I know where that person came from? What their background is when I purchase that hat? No. They may have came from a $1 billion family. They may have came from a $1 family. I don't know. I just like the hat and I purchased it. There's plenty of things online where nobody even knows who the hell you are and who they're even purchasing things from. So again, if you feel as though that your background or this, that, the other is hurting you, there are markets that you can go play in. And as long as you're educated, you can win in those markets. So it's about controlling the things that you choose to focus on. Are there some valid points that could be made through several different ethnicities? Of course, yes. Yeah. But the whole point is not to utilize that as an excuse not to go get yours.
Exactly.
Devontae Smith was told all of these different things, that he's not quick enough, he's not big enough, he's not fast enough, all of these things. And he just won the Heisman Trophy for last year. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the national championship game. This dude caught 12 passes for 220 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
The game wasn't even over. But this was a kid that was told that he doesn't have it.
Right.
Because he wasn't born into that body. He wasn't this 6'2" large body that had massive speed. Now, here's the point of me telling that story, because I've seen this happen a million fucking times in business in general. Now, what happens is you've got the prodigy, this individual that is so naturally talented.
Got all the genetics.
All the genetics. You got BJ Penn in the UFC. They actually, his name was the prodigy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because he was naturally an excellent fighter. And guess what happened? He went in there, he was cleaning house for a little bit. But guess what happened after a period of time? UFC got bigger and bigger, and the people that actually had to fight, scratch, and claw with work ethic to build their skill ended up taking him out.
Mm-hmm.
So the work ethic eventually beat the prodigy.
Yeah.
So there could be guys that are 6'2" that play football, and they're taking their body, their skill, and their size. They're taking what's the right word I'm looking for here? They're taking that and just running with it as a natural ability, rather than saying, wow, I was blessed with size, speed, and strength. What if I actually put this guy's work ethic that's not blessed with size, speed, and strength with my size, speed, and strength? What could I be capable of? So it's just funny that this guy that was told all of these things, that he's just not good enough and he can't be a winner in the position that he wanted to play, put his fucking, he didn't listen to that.
Right.
You're either paying attention to the fact that, yeah, you grew up a certain way, so yeah, you just, sorry, it's just really not fair. You got dealt a bad hand, you know, and then people are like, yeah, I did. It's not fair. And so then they're saying, well, okay, I don't have any control over my situation, right? So this individual said, well, instead of focusing on all the things that I don't have, one thing that I have the ability to control is my work ethic, my habits, you know, and that's exactly what he did. He put his head down, he put in the work, and now he is a Heisman Trophy winner. And I didn't watch the end of the game because they were, you know, starting to create some separation, and I don't really want to watch anything that's not competitive.
Right.
So if somebody's up by like 20 points, I'm like, babe, you want to watch whatever show you want to watch? You can get it over with, babe. Before I, Real Housewives of whatever, right? You know, I mean, all the dudes can probably sympathize with me there.
Yeah.
But again, it's just, why aren't we highlighting the people that did come from nothing,
man,
that made themselves of something? Because they're setting the bar. They're showing you what is actually possible in the world, provided that you're willing to make the sacrifices other people won't make.
Mm-hmm.
So if you make those sacrifices, again, it's not if, it's when. If you're really putting the work in and having two or three jobs, if I have one job and somebody has three jobs, who is going to put themselves in a better situation 10 to 15 years down the road?
Right.
The individual that's putting in more work today, they're planting
that's
more
seeds.
That's
why we got three jobs, Trev.
Fuck, dude. We got way more than that, dude. We got way more than that. Oh, my God. We got way more than that. But, yeah, sometimes if we feel overworked and underpaid. But no, the paychecks do catch up to your work ethic. And that's
always,
one,
man.
That's one thing that
always.
I want to bring up is I think people are so nearsighted or short-sighted that you start trying to change your life and start trying to make some of those decisions. And I'm going to grind, I'm going to hustle, I'm going to make this thing work. But you guys, you need to understand, you can't build a life in a year or in 2 years that is just going to be awesome and amazing. You know, because of how great the potential is in life and what you have the ability to gain, that means it's going to be that hard to get there.
Yeah.
Anything that's worth it is going to be very, very difficult. And the reason why it's so difficult to be successful in business is because it's so worth it.
Yeah.
Right? The reason why it's so difficult to become a doctor and you have to go to school for X amount of years is because they end up making a bunch of money, but they sacrificed 8 years of their life and they got into a bunch of debt in order to make a half a million to $1 million a year becoming a doctor. Now, that individual made almost a decade worth of sacrifices to put themselves in a situation to make a half a million or $1 million a year as a doctor.
Right.
So why can't we utilize that same type of mindset? Are you willing to give up 5 years of your life or 10 years of your life and make big sacrifices and maybe be in some debt throughout that process like a doctor has to do, right? In order to build a life for yourself. Because again, the further down the ladder that you start, it's a bigger climb. If I'm starting at Mount Everest halfway point and you're starting at the very bottom, that doesn't mean that you can't get to the top. Mm-hmm. My route just might be a little bit easier. So are you going to focus on my route or are you going to focus on the job, the task that you have at hand and what you need to do to get to the top? Amen. Why would you map out what I have to do to get to the top?
Yeah.
That's none of your business.
Yeah, why are you even comparing yourself to someone else in their situation? We all come from different backgrounds and we different struggles and different, you know, obstacles that we've got to overcome, man. And dude, sick of the fair talk. And you know what? In my Facebook argument, that's kind of the point that I was trying to make. And, you know, and these are people I know and I love and I care about, but we don't see eye to eye on this stuff. But they're not business people. They haven't overcome like we've had to, right? And, like, you know, that was one of the points I tried to make. Like, first of all.
And we're not trying to say that we've overcome more than anybody else.
I understand.
Yeah.
What everybody's story is. And I'm not saying I shouldn't empathize and do all this stuff with people that have these different challenges. But what I'm saying is, who the hell are you to sit there and put limitations on people? How are you serving them by victimizing them and helping them know that it's okay that you're not successful or living the life that you want to live because
it wasn't
you
fair.
Came from this background or this culture or this color or all this shit. And I'm just like, you know what? I just can't jive with that. Mm. I don't give a shit what all the studies say from our past. All this shit is just someone's theory, right? There's just someone's theory.
Somebody has to break
them
all.
I don't care how compelling it is.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if you're in this country, you have a choice. And I also try to make that point too. There's a lot of countries that you don't get a fucking choice.
Yeah.
Right? Straight up. You just don't.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, if you're here, and I don't care. I'm sick of making it a color thing, a group thing, a race thing, a culture thing.
It should be
an
opportunity.
It's an individual
thing.
Choice.
Yes.
At the end of the day, you and I know people that were born with no fucking limbs.
Yeah.
They get on stages and speak and become very successful at it.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
did they focus? Poor me, poor me, poor me, no limbs, no limbs, no limbs.
Exactly,
or did they
man.
Say, you know, this is the hand that I was dealt and I'm going to do everything that I can to make the best of it and create opportunities for myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I mean, even Michael Jordan, the old thing, he was cut from his basketball team. What did that make him do? He had to go through a hardship, a struggle that made him better.
Right.
So your hardships and your struggles, that's your opportunity. That's your opportunity to overcome and build grit and discipline and hustle, because coming out of that situation, and again, by the time he did come out of that situation, he was a better individual, better basketball player, right?
If you choose it, right?
He
because
chose.
There is a lot of people, and they're called average or below average, that choose to give up because of the adversity that they face.
Like, exactly.
Oh, this must not be the route I'm supposed to be on. I guess I'll try something else, you know, whatever. Or just keep buying into the fact that they're not going to have what they want because that's not the hand that they were dealt. You know, that happens to a lot of people, man.
Well,
that's what I love about entrepreneurs.
Somebody,
we have way too many success stories to sit here and keep arguing that, like.
I think 84% of millionaires didn't inherit any money.
Right.
Right? Zero money. I think that's what the statistic is. Okay. So that shows you the majority of people that have became successful had to overcome something. And every time you're facing an issue, a struggle or a hardship, that's an opportunity to prove that you are who you said you were, or that's an opportunity to become a better, more disciplined individual, to become the type of person that can be an example to other people, saying, you know what? It doesn't matter where you come from. It matters what you're willing to sacrifice to get where you say that you want to go. So are you going to focus on where you came from, or are you going to focus on where you want to go?
Right? We don't read a fucking map backwards and say that, well, we came from here.
Right.
No, we read it forward. We're looking at the target, what we're trying to accomplish, mm-hmm. right? And everybody's path is going to be different. I'm not saying that mine and Kel's struggles or childhood or everything that we've been through was the hardest thing in the whole world and nobody's experienced and overcame what we have. There's people that came from much worse situations than us that have become successful. And those people are should be an example, right? Successful people get demonized a lot. Capitalism gets demonized like it's a bad thing, you know, and it's not a bad thing. It's without a doubt, it's an inspiring thing. It's something that you have the ability to control and you have the ability to inspire through your success and your struggles. The best testimonials that we've had on our podcast are the ones that start with struggle, then overcoming struggle, and then getting to that point. Absolutely. And then people that listen, they're like, holy shit, dude, that was like we, even with Case and Story, overcoming drug addiction and homelessness, we got so many messages and be like, man, that one gave me goosebumps, or that one really resonated with me, because the only he was the same human being. He was the same height, the same build, the same. Well, he was a lot skinnier because he was on drugs. But
remember, he showed us that old.
Oh my God,
he driver's license picture. It didn't look the same.
Typical tweaker picture, without a doubt. You know, but again, the only thing that changed was his mindset and what he chose to focus on. Mm-hmm. And so the idea, guys, is understanding that focus is your superpower. So if you're focusing on the past and some of the issues that you're facing, you're using your superpower to demonize your situation and where you came from, where you can say, you know what? You know, it is what it is. I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, I didn't grow up with privilege and have everything handed to me, because I know I probably would be an egotistical, snotty fucking brat if I got handed everything. And then I would have an expectation of, well, you owe me, give it to me, give it to me. And that's not the type of mindset that I want as an individual, that I feel like the world owes me something because I was just handed everything my entire life. I now know that if I want something, that's not Kel's responsibility to get it for me. It's nobody else's responsibility but myself to get what I want. If I want to become a pilot, guess what? I have to sacrifice time with my family, time at the office, in order to go out there and get a pilot's license. I have to pay the money individually to go become a pilot, right? So that's a sacrifice that I'm willing to make to get what I say that I want, right? You guys all say that you want one thing, you want success. Are you sacrificing and making the necessary mindset changes in order to become an individual that's qualified to, you know, see the success that you say that you want? And if your habits aren't lining up, if your mindset's not lining up, if your work ethic is not lining up, your sacrifices aren't lining up with what you say that you want, then you're never going to get it. And then when you don't get it, or you're not getting there, this isn't for me, you know, it's not fair. Here comes the negativity, and you're going to find the excuse and the reason why it didn't work, rather than the fact of saying, you know what, I wasn't willing to put in 5 years or 10 years of sacrifice in order to get what I said I wanted. It just, it wasn't that meaningful to me. And that's really all it is, right? Like if somebody flat out said, Kel, you have to build $1 million business this year outside of what we currently have. And if you can't do that, you're going to die on December 31st, 2021. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that's an extreme example. The reason why I'm using that example is because you need to have an extreme mindset to get to the point of extreme results.
Right.
And you have to be able to do things and tap into certain parts of your mind that maybe other people can't tap into. But your life means a lot to you. It's very meaningful. So you will do anything that you possibly can to build $1 million business in that period, because the alternative is not good,
right?
So your alternative is living a shitty life, which is very miserable for 30, 40, 50 years. Or you can make that sacrifice for a year or two and just put your fucking nose down and grind and build something, right? And so it really depends on the weight that you're putting on what you say that you want. It's just not a priority for you if you haven't seen it yet. And if you're new to business and you haven't seen it yet, it's just because you haven't given enough time to the game. You haven't sacrificed enough for the game in order to earn your ticket to success yet.
Absolutely. And you know what I want to say, man? Right now, and I don't like, honestly, I don't like talking about race or politics and all this shit, you know, because I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. I think
it's a distraction.
It's a distraction. But we already have our own mental battles going on. We already have our own struggles to overcome. We already are trying to conquer the things that we already tell ourselves. We don't need society and our culture and our politics all trying to tell us how we're supposed to be. But that's what we're all going through. And you guys as business owners need to just understand that that's the noise that we need to cut out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need someone telling you you can't do it because you're black or you're white or you're privileged or you're not privileged or, you know, whatever it is, man. You came from here, so you're not going to get there, right? You don't need that, but that is what we're facing. And so you need to block that noise out. You need to just focus on you. You need to get clear on your vision, what you really want. You need to do the things that are necessary and just go for it, again, right? You don't need those limitations from society and all the shit that's going on. Because we are moving. We're moving into this weird direction in our country. We all feel it.
Yeah.
We all see it. You know, the whole pandemic and all that shit don't help it. But, dude, I see these conversations happening in social media, and I have a very, very small following in my social media that's like the social or, you know, the socialistic agenda, right? Like the people that believe in that. But I've got a few, and I see the messaging. And all it is it's another force of average trying to hold you back.
To give you a reason to say, well, yeah, that's why, you know? So let me ask you, why didn't Devontae Smith just walk away and say, you know what? They're right.
Yeah.
I am not tall enough. I don't weigh enough. I am not fast enough. Because that was the noise that was given to him, and it was all true.
Right.
It wasn't false information. So even if the information that we see on the news, even if it's true, does that serve you to have that part of your belief system?
Right.
It did, based upon his goals and what he was trying to accomplish, he drowned out the noise. All things that were true. That he couldn't do it based upon this, this, and this. He could say, yeah, I am not tall. I step on the scale. He weighs 174 pounds. You know, that's not a big guy.
Right.
That's not NFL type stuff. That's not a Heisman Trophy winner type stuff.
Right.
But he had the ability to make a decision in that moment to say, you know what? The outside noise is right. I'm not, you know, it's just not in the cards for me. I love football, but I guess I'm just never going to make it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like the fact we're 5'7", we're short, you know, somebody could say, well, you're not built for basketball. Somebody probably told Muggsy Bogues that. I mean, you guys, some young listeners in here might not know who that is, but he was like 5'5", and he could dunk a basketball.
He was a slam dunk.
He was a winner of the
dunk competition.
But his what he was given was considered underprivileged for what he was trying to accomplish.
But it's also a great analogy of how underprivileged is a privilege, right? Because he's so short.
He had to do more.
He could figure out how to jump high enough and do the things that he did to win a slam dunk competition, it made it stand out. Like, oh my gosh, this isn't some 6'8"
He's
dude,
a phenom now.
Right? Now he's a phenom. So what did the judges do? They throw up perfect tens for that motherfucker.
Because he had to overcome way more than everybody else to get to that point. And he's outshining the prodigies that were born at 6'6".
Exactly. So it's like, wow, man, that guy really stands out. And that becomes an advantage to him. Now he's winning shit, right? Now he's getting recognized.
His scenario as a situation to say, I can't.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really what it comes down to. If you come from a background of being poor, if you come from a background of underprivileged or whatever it may be, again, utilize that to your advantage, not your disadvantage, because that's a way to stand out. Once you start seeing success, that story of overcoming is now going to set you apart from all the other people that you're around that are successful now. Mm-hmm. If you've got five people that are a millionaire and one person says, well, I came from dirt streets in Iran and then I fleed here as an immigrant, and I worked three jobs. I sacrificed this, 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 and this, and then I had a little bit of money, and I invested it here. And everybody else didn't have that same.
Yeah.
He's going to be the guy that's going to stand out in that group because he has a better story than the other people. Stories, the best stories are about overcoming.
Right.
Now, if you watch 30 for 30 or E60 on ESPN, they're all stories of overcoming something. They're not highlighting, hey, Shaquille O'Neal was born, you know, 7 feet tall and became a basketball player, right? Because he had all the attributes to become a basketball player. He didn't maybe have to overcome the height issue of becoming a basketball or strength and size issue because he had all of those things naturally. But somebody else that came into the league that didn't have those maybe had a different work ethic or whatever, right? He may have been a guy that had the body, the mind, and the size and the work ethic, which is why now he's a Hall of Famer, right? And that's what created him because if he was just relying on just his size and strength, he probably wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame because there's been other tall guys, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's very smart. I mean, even though he was privileged to have all that all those attributes and genetics, like he still doubled down and worked his ass off, didn't take it for granted, right? But at the end of the day, man, like, anybody can achieve success in this country. I really believe that.
I believe that too. If you're willing to give what it takes in order to do it. Now, in some cases, some people will have to give more.
Yeah.
You know, some people might have to only sacrifice 5 years of their life to see success, and somebody from a lower spot might have to sacrifice 7 or 8. But that doesn't mean it's not possible. Are we focusing on the possibilities, or are we focusing on the reasons why the system says that we can't be successful? You guys, over the next few months, are going to hear a lot of noise. There's going to be a lot of media trying to sell this, that, the other. In terms of, you know, COVID, you guys are all victims of COVID, right? At the end of the day, I choose to thrive through COVID and figure out ways to pivot, adjust, and still win because of a mindset that I have that it doesn't matter what the hurdle is, let's overcome it and let's keep our eye on the target. Let's get to the finish line. Yeah. It doesn't matter if there's one hurdle or 100 hurdles. One person might only have 2 or 3 hurdles. One might have 100 hurdles, but that doesn't mean it's not possible. Let's focus on what's really possible when hard work and sacrifice and consistency really come together. Mm-hmm. Because when all of those things come together and you're really doing all the things that you should be doing, it's going to happen.
Right.
It will happen. We're freaking proof of it. And again, in some cases, the results don't happen very quickly. So you get frustrated and quit and give up and say, it's not for me. No, you didn't sacrifice enough. You didn't work hard enough. Take ownership of your situation because nobody else can do that for you. But a lot of people will sell you excuses on why it's okay to be in the situation that you're
average.
In.
Stay average.
Yeah.
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 Stay below average.
You know, you were dealt a bad hand. Like, nobody's going to blame you for being an average person or below average. So. Yeah. Now, if somebody came from a billionaire, you know, family, and then they go out in the world and they become a fuck up and a drug addict and this, that, the other. Now everyone's like, oh, man, that guy, he's a lost cause or whatever, right?
Yeah. Do you know what though? On your point to where you're going to be sold this shit for the next 6 months. It's never going to stop.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, COVID affected all of us, right? Mm-hmm. At some level or not. Even if you did great through COVID, it affected you somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's, you know, mentally, you know, whether it's financially, whatever it is. But, man, it's never going to go away. Our country is always going to be divided. There's always going to be different beliefs that people are going to try and sell you on. Man, at the end of the day, it is your choice. And I think that's the whole point of like this podcast is like, dude, this shit's all around us and it ain't going anywhere.
Let me ask you this. Could anybody on earth become fit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. But what would it take to become fit?
It would take, first of all, you getting clear on what you want and then putting in the work ethic and developing the habits.
So work ethic. Mm-hmm. Making sacrifices, whether it's getting up a little bit earlier so that you can squeeze gym or after work, making the sacrifice of taking time out of your day to go to the gym to exercise. But you're going to have to put in the work.
Right.
Right. And so the gym will not discriminate. It's all based upon the sacrifice, the work ethic, and the consistency that you're willing to put in on a day-to-day basis in order to get what you say that you want.
Yeah.
Right. And I utilize that analogy because that actually is the same for business.
Mm-hmm.
Business doesn't give a shit. You know, are you bringing it value? If you bring value to a business, the business will work.
Right.
And the value that you bring is the sacrifice, is the hustle, is the discipline, is the consistency. Because guess what? 99% of people aren't going to do it because it's fucking hard.
Yep.
That's the reason why there's the one percenters.
Yeah.
Right. They're doing all the things that the 99% aren't. Are we focusing and we've got called trust fund kids before on Instagram. Oh, who are these guys? What are they, trust fund babies? You know, because again, that individual's projecting the fact that they're in a situation not based upon their own habits and what the decisions that they're making on a day-to-day basis. They're projecting that we must have seen success because it was outside of us.
Yeah.
Because if they said, wow, those guys, they're successful, they look young, you know, if they can do it, then I can do it. But then that would put them in a situation where they have to take ownership and realize that they're the problem in their own life and the way that they think, and they're not really controlling what they have the ability to control. So therefore, it's just easier to be like, oh, well, they must have won the lottery. Or, you know, you see people, I don't know how he's so successful if he's 30 years old or 35 years old. They're trying to find a reason to justify why that person has it and you don't.
Right.
Rather than just saying, wow, that person has it. If he can have it at such a young age, he must have been willing to sacrifice some shit or take the time to learn a specific skill set, whether it's – what about programming? Mm-hmm. Anybody can become a programmer, and guess what? Programmers are highly paid right now because the entire world at this point is moving to technology, right? How many people do we know that are programmers that end up having their own programming company that make a shit ton of money?
A lot.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
Guess what? That's a skill set that doesn't matter if you are born rich or poor.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the time to go to school and educate yourself.
There's
in
actually
that
a school
and get it done.
There's actually a school that my brother-in-law works for. It's really cool. It's called Lambda. You don't pay to go to school. What they do is they allow you to go to school, get the education. When you get your first job, then you can start making the payments back on the $25,000 education, right?
And so, that's a programming school.
Yeah, it's specifically for programming. It's actually, you know, when they did the rounds of funding and all that stuff for it, I think like Google was investors, like big companies are investing in this. But a lot of people don't know about it yet, right? Because it's specifically designed for people that want to go get that education but can't qualify for student loans or can't qualify for, you know, regular bank loans or whatever to go get it. And so it's specifically designed for people that want to take their life and control it. They want to take control of their life.
So we've
there's
just,
resources out there,
we've
guys.
We've talked about specific things because no matter what your background is, if you went to school to become a programmer, we're looking for a programmer. Guess what? I'm not going to say, hey, how'd you grow up? I just only want people.
Show me the shit you built.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And then I'll hire you based on that.
Are you good at what you do?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's work together.
Yeah.
You know, so skill set is highly important. Are you taking the time and making sacrifices in order to study and learn new skills and become a valuable individual?
Yeah.
Because there's several ways to do that. You can do it through the stock market, as we talked about. You can sell on Amazon or, you know, have these e-com stores. You can become a programmer. All of these things, they don't care about what your background is.
Right.
They care that you have a specific skill set. If you're a great marketer, then go sell products or whatever, right? So you're choosing to focus on the things that you didn't even have control over, which is the way that you grew up.
Yeah.
And then you're using the things that you didn't have control over to say that I still don't have control.
Right.
Take the fucking steering wheel and steer it wherever the hell you want.
It's true, man. It's true. And you know what, dude? I'm so grateful for like the time that I had with my uncle and him sharing those stories with me and him teaching me about like those real obstacles he had to overcome. And I feel like the reason he did that is because he saw that I was growing up with shit stacked against me as well.
Yeah.
You know, like my parents were, dude, surprised they didn't kill each other, man, but they would send me down there to him and his and my aunt to stay with them to just get the kids out of the environment because they knew it wasn't good, right? And so I'd stay down there with him sometimes weeks at a time. This happened a couple of times in my childhood, and he'd share these stories with me, man, and he would teach me things. And I think it's because he saw that, right? He saw that you know, I had some shit to overcome to be successful, and he wanted to let me know it was possible. Here I am staying at their beautiful mansion on a hill, beautiful backyard overlooking Orange County. Like, dude, it was inspiring. And so a couple messages that I want to send to people is like, first of all, if you're an entrepreneur and you're probably pretty inspiring to somebody in your family, you might have that nephew or that child or that cousin or somebody that you are inspiring. And so get clear on your vision, man, what you want. Work your ass off for it because you're going to inspire a lot of people along the way. Develop that story because that's going to get you to stand out. And don't listen to this society that wants to put limitations on you. That shit's not acceptable. It shouldn't be acceptable to you. You know, and at the end of the day, that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about this today because I'm seeing it so much. And you want to talk about fair? That's not fair. That's not fair that there's all these people that want to hold you down. But life's never going to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay true to you. You got to stay true to your story. You got to, you know, just go for it, man. Don't let this shit hold you back. And you're going to inspire some people along the way as well.
you've got an option to focus on the 100 reasons why you can't be successful, or you can find one really fucking good one that trumps that 100 excuses or the 100 mm-hmm. reasons why you can't do something.
Yeah.
If you want it bad enough, there are several paths to success. There's probably thousands of paths to success.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a matter on focusing on what you want and what you have the ability to control, which is your own work ethic, your own habits, your own mindset. These are all things that nobody else can control but you,
yeah.
but yet you still choose not to flex that hustle muscle and work that hustle muscle to the point where it's really, really strong. Yeah. You know, if I'm doing freaking buys every single day, my buys might be a little bit bigger than somebody that does it once a week
yeah.
because I'm outworking that individual in a specific area.
Yeah.
Are you really separating yourself, or are you doing the 9-to-5 thing and calling it a day? You know, that's just not going to get you to the 1%. It mm-hmm. just won't. And so, again, understand what you want to accomplish. If all you want is, I'd be happy if I made 100 grand a year or whatever, right? Again, you'll get there and won't be happy with it.
Yeah, but you'll reset
yeah, targets. Yeah, you'll make an adjustment. I've been there. but again, at that point, if that's what you believe is the level of success that you want, then start researching. What are jobs that pay $100,000 a year? Because maybe not everyone wants to become an entrepreneur. Yeah. Maybe some people do want to just work and not have the same stress, because it is highly stressful. It is yeah. it is very, very stressful. So,
but you're a light, you're a light.
But you can reverse engineer it and say, okay, well, yeah. programmers make 80 grand a year. You know, so if I do spend 25 grand and spend 6 months, are you kidding me? 6 months and 25 grand to have an opportunity to make $80,000 to $100,000 a year?
Yeah.
Pilots are in shortage. You can go become a pilot for 30, 40 grand a year and go make 100 grand a year being a commercial pilot.
Right.
You know, it really doesn't matter what your background in is, as long as you are valuable and have the skill set to fly a freaking airplane, right? And so the idea is really finding what you're trying to accomplish, what number that is, and then do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
Find out what jobs pay that, and then start focusing on that skill set. Oh, well, you know, people in the stock market make millions of dollars. Tim Nguyen, he started with like 3 or 5 grand trading stocks, and I think he's up to like 300,000 or 400,000 or something like that. He's making money in the stock market, and he just figured it out within like 3 or 4 months when COVID came in, because yeah. it affected his business a little bit. So he pivoted and said, oh, what's the stock market yeah. thing about? And he really dove deep, and within 3 or 4 months.
He got obsessed with it.
He did.
I love that saying that your obsessions become your possessions.
Yeah, and now he's making a lot of money in the stock market yeah. because he sacrificed 3 or 4 months, played around with a little bit of money. He watched the videos, he did the research, and now he's just making these calls on these stocks. Just like, this one's going to do this. This one's going to, because he understands the charts, the graphs, the candles. He can read some of that stuff now. It's almost like a language, right?
Right.
If we want to speak Spanish, we want to speak French, we got to take time out of our day to study and learn and gain that skill. What he's doing is just that. He's taking time out of his day to learn and study and get a skill that has the ability to make him a lot of money. And so me watching an individual completely pivot and go into a stock market and make hundreds of thousands of dollars within about 6 or 7 months off of like 5 grand. To me, like, go ahead and tell me why you're not successful, and I'll tell you that you're a fucking schmuck and that you're using this thing as an excuse because you don't really want it bad enough. Because the people that really want it bad enough, they'll crawl through the fucking mud, barbed wire. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Now, if I have a kitty cat across the fucking barbed wire muddy thing, I'm probably not going to go get it, you know, because I don't care that much. But if my child was on the other side of that,
yeah.
because it's so meaningful to me, I would be willing to go through the mud and the barbed wire in order to get my child.
You might piss some people off with that one, dude. There's some animal lovers.
It's all good.
I know some people love their cats more than their kids, dude.
Hey, I have a cat. I love my cat. Nessie's down. Nessie's been down for like 12 years with us, you know? So I love my cat too. But, you know, again, there are priority levels to specific things. And the reality is your priorities aren't right if you're really not willing to make the sacrifice for what you say that you want. You just don't want it as bad as what you say you want, because you'll be willing to go through anything to get what you say that you want that's that meaningful to you. Nothing would stop me from trying to get to my child because it's that meaningful to me, right? Is your life that meaningful to you that you're willing to do whatever? Are you willing to crawl through the mud? Are you willing to go through the fight and get get cut up and beat up and want to quit and give up, but still push forward. That's all we've done in business over the last fucking decade.
Yeah.
We've had many pivots. We've got punched in the mouth many times. We've had zero money in an account with $66,000 in credit card debt, and we saved that fucking company. We turned that bitch around because we wanted it that bad. I don't think enough people would be willing to go as deep as we went in terms of trying to keep that business. They would have said, this isn't working anymore. We're just done with it. We got to move on to something else. Okay. So again, it just matters how much you want to make it work, because it will work if you want it to at a high level, right? You can't kind of want it and have it happen. So.
Exactly. You guys, at the end of the day, we all got our struggles. We all got our things that we got to overcome if we're on this entrepreneurship game. But at the end of the day, man, when you pop out the other side, you're going to look at all these underprivileges as privileges, as something that fuels your fire, as something that gave you the work ethic to achieve what you really wanted. So, you know, keep your head down, keep grinding, keep working. And, don't let the people or the society or the messages out there get you down. Just stay on your mission. Shit will work out.
Yeah. I mean, society told us we were dumb based upon our grades.
Yeah.
We didn't let that stop us. Mm-hmm. We still wanted to be successful so bad that, you know, we didn't let a lack of education hold us back from getting what we want,
right?
There's some people that are very highly educated that were straight A students that aren't successful at this point. But at the end of the day, maybe school was easy for them. They were the prodigy. They could understand things much quicker than I could understand things. But that was that was not a superpower. Because it came so easy, they don't feel like that they have to really work for what they want.
It's true.
Because everything that they did, they showed up to school and they basically walked into A's.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have to try as hard as me. Because I didn't understand what they understood. So therefore, me knowing that the system said that I wasn't good enough to achieve success made me want it that much more, right? And so again, it's a matter of your perspective. Change your perspective on the things that you lack. That's your superpower. That in 5 years is going to be the thing that separates you from your competition, mm-hmm. because they won't have the work ethic that you have, that you had to build up to get where they got. And then the next 5 years, you're going to be running laps around them. Yep. But it might take time to get to the point where you're level with somebody else. But when you're level with that individual and you have work ethic, it's gone. It's done.
Yep.
You've already beat them.
I agree,
won. So
I agree.
Guys, let's make 2021 a fucking kick-ass year. We love you guys, and we want to see you guys win. And you can't win with a negative mindset or an excuse mindset or that's not fair mindset. That's just the facts of it. You know, this young individual that's the wide receiver at Alabama, he didn't use his lack of scenarios to validate as an excuse not to put in the work, because even if he did, he could have said, well, I can't grow any taller.
Yeah.
I'm still undersized.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to put in 30 pounds of muscle. Like, again, it didn't matter what other people said. It mattered what he wanted, and he went out and did what was necessary to get the result that he wanted.
Right.
And you guys have the ability to do that too. So let's drown out the noise. Let's focus on what we're trying to accomplish, not where we've been and what has happened in our life, because that's just an anchor. Let's not let the past hold us back and anchor us down to where we stay in that situation. Let's drop the anchor, drop the excuses, so that we can run towards our goal at a different speed.
Yeah.
So guys, let's make sure that your mind's right, you're focused, your hustle muscle's there, you're willing to make the sacrifices, and you have the work ethic that it takes to become successful, and you're willing to give that time, that 5 years, that 10 years that it takes to really build something special. But if you really put your head down and you focus, in 5 or 10 years, you'll pop out the other side and say, holy shit, I'm glad I did everything that I did, and I'm glad that I had all of those hurdles that I had to overcome, because that's who made me who I am today.
Yeah.
So it either makes you or breaks you.
Yep.
You determine that.
Use it to your advantage or
disadvantage. It's really up to you. So
make
sure that you guys do us a favor. You know, drop a review if you're listening to this on Apple. Subscribe to it. You know, share it with friends or family. You know, we definitely appreciate seeing some of those reviews come through, and it definitely keeps gas in our tank to continue to try to bring you guys information that we think that would be valuable to you.
100%.
So kick ass. Take care, guys.
Take care.